I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. We're going to look at chapter number 19 tonight. Psalm chapter number 19. I want to read all 14 verses to you tonight. And then I want us to look at a portion of these verses tonight. And I want us to look at something I think will be a help to us as we divide the Word of God tonight. All right, Psalm chapter number 19. Let's begin in verse 1. The Bible said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom, is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." You know what? That should be our desire tonight, that everything that we think, everything that we do, and everything that we say might be acceptable in the sight of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend. He's my strength tonight, and I'm thankful for that. Amen? It's a tremendous chapter as we look at this chapter, but I want us to look at something tonight, and I don't know if I'll get all these verses in tonight or not. I'm going to try, but if not, then we'll look at it maybe at a later time. But tonight, I want to focus this Bible study on just a few verses found in the middle of this chapter, beginning in verse number 7. I want you to look at it here, beginning in verse number 7. The Bible said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward." Folks, there is reward in keeping the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen? There is great reward in that. I want you to look at some of these things here tonight. There are three things here, and I think our pastor has probably gone through this before. But there are three things I want to kind of subdivisions of this chapter. We can divide it up, and we can see in this chapter, number one, in verses 1 through 6, we see the God of all creation revealed. He is made known. Listen, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All you've got to do is go outside and look up in the sky, and you can see the hand of God everywhere you go. Nature itself reveals the great and mighty creator of this earth, the Lord our God. But then I want you to look at verses 7 through 10 and hear the word of God is revealed. Six times it talks about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord being true and righteous altogether. And he sums up something here saying, number one, they're more valuable than anything this world has to offer to us. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. That's pretty sweet. And that's pretty good. And then he says this. He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You know what? We today need to keep our eyes open for what the devil has in store for us. Right. Boy, the devil is a deceiver. And God's word keeps us intact. It keeps us in tune. It keeps us informed of the desires of the devil. And it shows us how we can escape those things if we will take heed to the word of God. And he said here in verse 11, in keeping of them, there is great reward. But then in verses 11 through 14, we see how that man is revealed. Keep back thy servant, verse 13, also from presumptuous sins. That means sins that overstep the boundaries that sin, you know, that has been put out there. Pride and arrogance. These willful sins where man lifts up himself. David says, Lord, keep me from those things. Don't let me get lifted up in pride. Don't let me get lifted up in arrogance against the laws and the word of God. And then he says here in verse 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now tonight, I want us to look at this middle section of verses. I want us to see some things here in verses 7 through 11. And I want us to see these verses. I want you to see how that the psalmist here talks about the law of the Lord. The word of God, he's speaking here about this book. Amen. And how this book will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. Right. And folks, we need to understand today, the devil is very, very deceptive today. Oh my goodness, how many folks he has deceived today and how many more folks he wants to get to deceive them and cause them to get away from the law of the Lord. But folks, tonight, I want us to look at this tonight. And I want you to notice here what the psalmist said about the law of the Lord. Let's pray just a moment, and then I'm going to give you the message tonight, the law of the Lord. Father, I just want to say thank you again tonight for the privilege to be able to stand before this people and preach your word. Lord, I know that our pastor is wanting to see his family, just like everybody else here wants to see their family. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that he could take these few days and be able to drive all the way down to West Virginia and spend a little time with them and then drive back so that he can be back here with his church family. I thank you, Lord, for his love for this people. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'll keep him safe, keep his heart stayed upon you. And Lord, I pray, God, that when they come back in here on Friday or Saturday, Lord, that you'll have him ready and just rip-roaring and ready to go and preach the word of God to us on Sunday morning. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, you will take the words of my mouth and you'll take the meditation of my heart. And Lord, you'll be willing to allow it to be acceptable in thy sight. And help me, Lord, to be a strength and an encouragement to your people. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to look at this tonight. I want you to see something here. Did you notice that David said something special about the law of the Lord here? He said there are several things here. But he starts out with this thought that the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. You know what? There are not many perfect things in this world. Not many perfect things. My wife only knows one. That's me. But I mean, you know, she loves me. But listen, no, I'm just kidding. But listen, there's only one thing in this world that is perfect, and that is the law of the Lord. Listen, it's no wonder the devil wants to get us away from the Word of God. Right. It's no wonder that he wants to get us so busy that we don't take time to read the Word of God and spend time in it, that we might be able to know what God's will is for our lives. The devil wants to deceive us. And listen, if the devil can deceive a child of God from taking the Word of God in, then you know what? The devil's got what he wants. He makes us to be ineffective. And we don't want to be ineffective for Christ. This is a time and a day when we need to be more effective in telling folks about Christ, in living for the Lord, than we've ever been before. Our world is hungry today for the message of the gospel. They're looking for something that's real. And folks, you and I are the ones that they're going to be able to see it in if we will stay in the perfect law of the Lord. Now, I want us to see something here. Number one, he said that law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. Now, that word perfect literally means, now look this up. It literally means, it's literally, figuratively, and morally entire and complete, so that nothing more can be added unto it, and nothing that it has stated can be taken away from its being unnecessary. Also, in its noun form, this word perfect means integrity and truth. That's what the Word of God is. It is integrity. It is truth. And boy, that is something that the world does not like today. The devil does not like truth. Listen, this law of the Lord is perfect. It is something that is without blemish. It is complete. It's full. It's perfect. It's sincere. It's sound. It's without spot. It's undefiled. It's upright. And it's whole. And man, that exactly describes the law of the Lord, does it not? That describes the law of the Lord. And you know, for both the sinner as well as the born-again child of God, this fact should mean something special. And it should represent something that will make all the difference in the lives, both of sinners as well as in the lives of the saints of God. During this Christmas season, I want us to just take a look about how the law of the Lord is perfect. It really is the law of the Lord. It affects all of our world today. It will affect them tomorrow, and it will affect them forever. The law of the Lord never changes. I want you to turn back in your Bible just a moment to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Exodus, chapter number 24. And in Exodus, chapter number 24, the Bible tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Do you see how important the law of the Lord is? God gave Moses those tablets, those tables of stone. He gave him the law. He gave him the commandments which God with his own hand wrote in those stones. And he did it for one purpose. What was the purpose that God gave unto us this precious book, this Word of God? What is the purpose? It says here in the last part of this verse, that thou mayest teach them. That thou mayest teach them. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, of how that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How would we have ever known about that if we did not have the perfect law of the Lord? How would we have ever known that God loved us and cared for our souls unless we had this precious book we call the Word of God? We would have never known it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Look at this verse with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said this. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Amen. And you know what Jesus did? He came into this world and he fulfilled all that was written before about him. He fulfilled it. And my friend, listen to me tonight. Jesus today wants us to be able to take this same message and teach it to all those around us. Amen. He wants us to take this. There's just something special about the law of the Lord, folks. There's something special about this Word of God. And I want to just show you a couple things out of these verses real quickly tonight. I'll have you out here by 8:15 tomorrow morning for sure, okay? All right? Number one, I want you to see the law of the Lord. Now think about that just a moment. The law of the Lord. What exactly is the law of the Lord? Again, I sought out Mr. Webster's vast knowledge of words that I don't always understand. And I looked up this word law. And you know, it's just a three-letter word, but it has so much meaning in that one word. Listen to what Webster defined this word to mean. He defined the word law to mean a binding custom or practice of a group or a community. And you know what? He set this before us. God set his law before us to bind us together for one purpose. And that was to serve the Lord God, our Creator. He let us know through the law what was right. And he let us know through the law what was wrong. And he gave us this law for us to put in practice as a group, as a church body, as a body of local, Bible-believing, soul-saved, baptized believers, to put it into practice and let the world see the law of God in us, the Word of God in us. I want you to see some examples of this throughout the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 119, verse 142. Psalm chapter 119, verse 142. Here again, the psalmist wrote, and he said, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Amen. Hey, listen, the righteousness of God is everlasting righteousness. Amen. And you know what that means? It means that his truth is everlasting. His truth never changes. It never ends. David reminded the people that God's righteousness is everlasting. And his law, which is eternal truth, the body of real things, the evidence of events and the facts that do not change, God's word is truth. The law is truth. This word truth, it's also defined in Webster's dictionary. And Webster defined this word as the actuality of the way things truly are. The actuality of the way things truly are. I look in the mirror in the mornings and I see the actuality of the way things truly are, okay? All right? Now, my wife goes in there and she paints herself, fixes her hair all up, sprays it down, and all this other stuff, sprays pre-smelling stuff all over her. And I tell her, "Honey, if the old barn needs painting, paint it. It's not a problem." But you know what? That stuff doesn't help me. It doesn't help me. I wouldn't want that. Listen, when I look in that mirror, I see the actuality of the way things truly are. And folks, listen, when we look at old self, when we look at the way this world truly is today, it's not getting better. My soul, they say, oh, things are getting better. Folks, things are getting worse. Because sin is abounding around us today. But you know what? You and I are the salt. We're the light. We're to be the preservative of those things that do not change. We're to try to help the world to see truth the way that it truly is. Truth is the facts that are real and the things that do not change. Amen? That's the way it is. Number two, I want you to see Solomon. Solomon, the son of King David, he wrote something quite interesting in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Look at that. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 23. And this is what he said. He said, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Amen? In other words, God's law lights the way to one's knowing what God desires for their life. God's law lights the way to one's knowing what God desires for their life. And that instruction through which God reproves us and he corrects us for those sins and those errors that lead us astray from him, he uses that reproof, that instruction, to lead us in the way of life and living from day to day. He helps us to be able to grow. Now think about that, folks. A great and loving God did that for you and for me. You know what? Many people today would say, boy, if it's not perfect, then I don't want it. I'm just going to do away with it. But you know what? God didn't do that with you and with me, did he? He loved us. And he gave us his word. Why? So that it might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we might have direction to go in. And man, I'm thankful for that tonight. But then thirdly, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 8 through 11, Paul told Timothy how that we know that the law is good. Now we know that the law is good today, do we not, folks? The problem is nobody wants to obey the law. Folks don't want to adhere to the law. Why? Because it reveals what they think about the law. Now you think about that. When you disrespect the law, you disrespect God. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. Now listen to what he said. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. In other words, if a man will use it the way it's supposed to be used, it will help us when we do err in our ways to get back on the right track of doing things. It will show us where we're wrong and how we can get back to the right way of doing things. When the law is used lawfully, it's a good thing. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers. Think about this a moment. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Boy, I think he covered it quite well there, don't you? I think he covered a lot of things. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You see, the law of the Lord that is perfect in every way, it not only leads and guides the child of God in the way he should go, but the law of the Lord, the perfect law of the Lord, also points the sinner into the way of righteousness. It points them into the way of righteousness so he might see his need of knowing the one whose law he has broken. If I had not known the law, I would not known, I have known that I was a sinner. And the law of the Lord is a perfect, it has a perfect purpose. And it is to point sinners to the Savior. And it's to help them to see their need of a Savior. The law of the Lord not only keeps the saint of God in the right attitude of love and of service unto God, but that same perfect law of God shows the sinner the error of his ways. I didn't like it when I read that verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I thought myself to be a pretty good guy. Well, not pretty, but good anyway, okay? I thought myself to be good. I wasn't as bad as the guys down the road. I wasn't as bad as those folks that drank and cussed a lot and smoked and did all those things that were not right. I wasn't like that. But you know what? I was still a sinner. And the Bible said that all have sinned. And even though the law of the Lord pointed me in that direction, I didn't write offhand like the truth of the law. But you know what? The more I read of it and the more I heard it preached, the more I came to realize that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. Amen. I could not save myself. And no matter how good I tried to be, I could not be as good as the God who was looking down upon me. I couldn't be as good as God. There's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says here that if a man will use the law without perverting it in any way or manner, then God will use this perfect law to humble the heart of those who are lawless and disobedient. If he will not turn the law around and pervert it, like we see going on in our world today, the law is made to point that sinner to the Savior. And the Bible talks about that. Listen, the perfect law of the Lord will reach down further than any vile sinner could ever reach up and do anything for himself. And that law will prove eternal life to the worst of men stealers, to the worst of those that lie and perjure themselves. The law of the Lord will help him to see his need of the Savior. Folks, that's why we ought to love this book. It keeps us in tune with the way that God is thinking. When we do right, it shows us that we've done right. But when we've done wrong, it also shows us that we've done wrong. Now, let me tell you what the law of the Lord is. It's a mirror today. The law of the Lord is a mirror. Again, I tell you, when I look in that mirror in the morning, I'm thinking to myself, who is that guy in the mirror? Who is that fat little fella there in the mirror? You know, what happened to his hair? I mean, I do still have mine, but I mean, it's turned gray. It didn't turn loose, it turned gray, amen? But listen to me. The problem in our world today is the world doesn't want to see the Word of God as a mirror. And what they do, when they look in the law of the Word of God and they don't like what they see, instead of changing and allowing the Word of God to change them, they change the mirror. They change the mirror. You ever been to the circus or one of those things that they've got all these different mirrors, the house of mirrors, you go in it. One of them, you go in there and you're real tall and skinny. I like that one. Another one, you walk in there and you're short and you're fat. Another one, you walk in, it's only got the middle part of you, and there's no head. You walk around, and you got arms like this, and there's no head above it. And I mean, just a hall of mirrors. It's got all sorts of distortions and things like that. Listen, that's what man has done today with the Word of God. They've made it a hall of mirrors. And they make it so that you can see yourself any way you want to see yourself and feel good about it. Folks, listen to me. The Word of God is a mirror. And we need to allow ourselves to be looking in that mirror and say, "Dear God, I need you to change what I see in this mirror." And only God can do that. Look at what he said. The law of the Lord is what? It's perfect. It's perfect. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 24. He wrote in there that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by his faith. The law of the Lord was a schoolmaster. It taught us. How many of you have had teachers in school that taught you what you were doing wrong as well as what you were doing right? Did they do that with you? Am I the only one that they did that with? Good night. Man, my teachers were always showing me what I did wrong. And boy, when I got it right, sometimes they put a little sticker on my paper and had a little smiley face. And if I got a good grade on there, they'd write on there, very good, you know, very good. And they exhorted me. They tried to encourage me. They were a schoolmaster. They were teaching me. But you know what? The law of the Lord is a perfect law. And as we look at this, it means to be flawless. It's entirely without fault or defect. Now think about this just a minute. The law of the Lord is perfect, he said in Psalm 119, verse 7. It means that the law of the Lord is without error. It's without fault. There's no sort of defacing blemishes in the Word of God. You know why? Because within its pages, we see the God of all creation, and he is that light. He is the one that is perfect, and he is flawless, and he's entirely without fault or defect. Listen, it means that the law of the Lord satisfies any and all requirements of one's demands and is still accurate. Amen? It's still accurate. It can be accurate in everything that it does. It means that it faithfully reproduces the original thought or intent of its creator. You know what God's intent was for you and for me? Is that we might be one day like him in heaven. He wants to have fellowship with us, folks. He wants us to live for him. When he looks at us, he wants to see himself in our lives. He wants to see us. It means also that this book, The Law of the Lord, is legally valid. It's totally pure and it's complete. It's absolute and totally free from any imperfections and leaving no doubt to its unquestionable state of being. No wonder the devil wants to take it and do away with it. No wonder the world has said you can't have the Word of God in our school system today. No wonder you can't pray at a ball game and mention the Word of God or the Savior of the world. Why? Because the devil knows the power of the Word of God. He knows it today. And he wants this law of the Lord to be something perfect in our lives. Folks, tonight, listen, I want you to understand something. This law of the Lord is a reflection of the living Word of God. Who is the living Word of God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? You know, I thought today as I was studying on this, I thought about how John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. This is the living Word. Listen, when you hold this book in your hand, you're holding a piece of eternity in your hands. That's what it is. It's the living Word of God. In Luke chapter 23, verse 4, I want you to look at this verse just a moment. Pilate, they had brought Jesus to Pilate, and the Jews wanted Jesus to be condemned by Pilate and be put to death. They said it wasn't legal for them to kill him, to put him to death. So they wanted Pilate to do this. And in Luke chapter 23, if you look at verse number 1, we read here about what Pilate said about Jesus after he examined him. Luke chapter 23, verse 4, Luke chapter 23, verse 4. After he examined the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. None. Now, if you look at me, you're going to find fault. Okay? Some folks will say I'm too tall. Some folks will say I'm too small. Some folks will say I'm skinny. Some folks will say I'm not so skinny. Some folks will look at me and say, well, he's too gray. And other folks will look and just find something wrong. You can do that. Anywhere you look today, you can find something wrong in anybody. But Pilate looked at Jesus. He interrogated him. And he said, I find no fault in this man. And if you go over to John chapter 18, verse 38, the Bible said that a second time, Pilate went out to him, and he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. Not even a little smidgen of fault. I don't find anything wrong with this man. And Pilate tried to pick our Savior apart. He asked question after question to find any little thing wrong that he could find in him that would justify him being put to death. But the end result of Pilate's interrogation was, I find in him no fault at all. That's my Jesus, amen? And our Savior is the living Word of God. People say, that Word of God, boy, you guys are just crazy. You're some kind of a nut if you believe all that. There's all kinds of faults in that book. Show me one. Nobody's been able to do that. They don't find the fault. They want to listen to what the devil says. And you know what? On yet a third occasion, the Bible said in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, that Pilate therefore took Jesus and he scourged him. He said, I know how I'll find fault in him. I'll make him cuss. I'll make him mad. I'll make him do things that all other men always do. And the Bible said that Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. They found nothing wrong with this Savior. And you know what? They yet crucified him. We know that that was all in God's plan. God had a purpose in doing that. It was so that you and I could be able to go free. Our debt would be paid for our sin. And we could be offered the free gift of God, which is eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, it is the perfect law of the Lord that shows us the great love of God and shows us all that Jesus did to prove to us that he is who he said he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The angel said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He was God in the flesh. Folks, our Savior, his word is perfect. It converts the soul. And again, I don't have time to go through the rest of this. But you look at this chapter tonight and see all that the law of the Lord is. And look and see if you don't see the Savior right in the middle of it. Amen. It describes our Savior. The one that was born of a virgin. Came to this earth, was born and laid in a manger stall. A cattle feeding trough. probably full of old cow slobber and wet straw and all kinds of stuff. And yet the King of Kings would take off his robe of glory and come to this earth in the robe of flesh of sinful men and go to the cross and die for you and for me. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, making wise the simple. And folks, he wants to be something special to you tonight. Let's take the Word of God. Let's realize exactly what it is in our lives tonight. And let's apply it to our hearts and lives. And as we read it, as we study it, let's see the giver of all life within its pages. Let's see the living Word of God in all that we have in this book. Amen? Let's see it tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this Bible study. Lord, I didn't get anywhere like I wanted to get, but Lord, this book is so special tonight. And Lord, everywhere I read in it, it just points me back to you and shows me just how perfect, how flawless you are, how wonderful you truly are. Lord, you reprove us of our sin when we do wrong. And yet, Lord, you love us and encourage us when we trust you to do right. And I pray, Lord, that we would never lose our love for this word. Help us, O God, tonight to love the law of the Lord and to remember that it is indeed perfect in all of its ways. We love you tonight. Bless us now this Christmas season and help us, Lord, to remember, God, what you've come to do for us. That is to give us life and that life to be more abundant. Bless now in our invitation. Speak to hearts. And Lord, if there be anyone here tonight that's never been saved, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart and help them, Lord, to be willing to trust you as their Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.